Hey everybody, welcome to the Ultra High Net Worth Clients Podcast, where I, Chris Broadhead, interview the most successful financial advisors in the world to hear exactly how they maximize their marketing, amplify their assets under management, and close their ultra high net worth clients. I've been helping financial advisors to find more clients and grow their assets under management using cutting-edge and wildly effective marketing strategies for years. If you are a financial advisor looking to grow your AUM, this is the podcast for you. Please go to uhnwc.com to download your free copy of our How to Find Ultra High Net Worth Clients ebook. All right, let's start the episode. All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Ultra High Net Worth Clients Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Broadhead. We started this podcast as a way to create a central resource of the best financial advisor practice growing tips shared by the most outstanding advisors and marketers in the industry, of which our guest today is definitely one. These outstanding financial advisors agree to be on the show and provide a ton of value for free, all in the hopes that our audience of mostly financial advisors might learn from their words. My father was a financial advisor, and financial advisors are the main client we serve. So my marketing agency's mission is to help every financial advisor grow their business in an effort to help the world become more financially secure. Today, we have the rare pleasure of talking with an amazing financial advisor firm's incredible director of marketing, Marcia Possett. Marcia, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Yes, thank you for that introduction, Chris. I'm Marcia Possett. I'm the director of marketing for Fragasso Financial Advisors. We're headquartered in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we cover most of Western PA and with clients really all across the country. My background actually started in graphic design. I started out in publishing, did some ad design for a business newspaper in Pittsburgh for a number of years. Then in 2008, I actually switched over to banking and became a one-person in-house marketing team. So I spent about 9 years in banking and marketed for them, for a community bank, and then moved to Fragasso. I'm celebrating 7 years here this month. So I feel like this is my home. It's a great fit for me, and I really enjoy helping the financial advisors do the many gratifying things they do for their clients.
That's awesome. Yeah, and we had Bob Fragasso on the podcast in a previous episode, and just talking to him for 30 minutes, I can see how staying with his company for 7 years would not be too difficult.
Right, and I'm probably, you know, maybe on the mid to light side. I mean, there's people that have been here for 2 decades, and they're still very, very happy, so.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing. So, can you talk to us, you know, how your marketing career got started, how you got into the industry, what kind of inspired you to go down the marketing path?
Sure. So I'd say really what moved me over to marketing was it's very common in Pittsburgh to find an opportunity because of who you know. It's a very kind of a big small city is how we like to call it. There's really only like 2 degrees of separation between most people. So I ended up in banking through someone that that I had known both personally and professionally. And then, you know, I think one of the biggest challenges, but something like I was easily able to adopt, was working with compliance. So I started that, obviously, when I was in banking. There's a lot of things you can't do. There's always a lot of disclosures and things like that. So I think having that background already and then shifting over to the investment world made this a fairly easy transition for me. There's different acronyms and different disclosures, but really the whole like conservative marketing and marketing a service is something I've really spent the past 15 years doing.
That's great. So 15 years ago was 2008, 2009 or thereabouts. Right. Marketing has changed just a little in that time. can you talk about what sorts of marketing you were doing back then?
Sure. I mean, I think the biggest switch that we've seen was the evolution, you know, of less print and in more digital. You know, of course, every firm has to have now a web page, all their different social profiles, understand digital marketing, understanding Google profiles. And you know, 15 years ago, we were just starting to scratch the surface on that. Even, you know, email marketing for these types of firms were kind of like the new cutting edge thing. Like marketing automation was new 10, 15 years ago. And that's all old news now, but it continues to be a useful tool though, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. I feel like so many, not necessarily financial advisors, but so many new clients that I talk to, when I tell them kind of the modern marketing strategies, Facebook ads, email marketing, content marketing, TikTok videos, they're like, what? You know, a lot of them, they seem to have, they're like, no, this worked in 1987 and we're going to keep doing that.
Right.
Do you have any advice for marketers who are trying to speak the language of, you know, these older generations?
I think, you know, if it is an older generation you're marketing to and they still get magazine and newspaper subscriptions, then you're still going to want to advertise for that. It's really, you know, and we'll probably get into this a little deeper into our conversation here, but it's really about, you know, who are you marketing to and where are they researching, you know, services and products like yours? Mm-hmm. So, like somebody else I've met who works in media says, you know, like billboards, radio, TV, like all your traditional on top of your digital, they all exist because they do work. They work for someone and for, you know, for their product, for their messaging. So it's just finding the right mix for your industry and even, you know, your firm in particular.
Mm, okay. Hey, have you found success using kind of the legacy forms of marketing, the billboards, magazine ads, TV commercials?
We do a mix of both. I've seen we had a pretty consistent plan of, you know, where we advertise maybe for the past 4 years. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in the past, we've done billboards. We did radio. We had our own radio show at one point. Mm. And then you just have to take a step back at a certain point, analyze, you know, what sort of business you're getting out of it. And those are a couple of, you know, examples of things we've actually pulled back from because we weren't getting the qualified leads that we were looking for from those particular sources. But they can definitely work for somebody else, you know, in a different business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you, for Gasso Financial Advisors, was the return just too hard to measure? Because I mean that's something I run into a lot.
Yes.
You know, they're like, okay, you're gonna run this billboard. Like, how do we know how much money it's making us? And I eventually I'm just like, I don't know.
Right.
Like, are you making more money now this month than you were the same time last year?
Right. Traditional media is absolutely, that's one of the hardest things about it is tracking, you know, your ROI. You know, one of the things that we do here, and it's certainly not a perfect science, but it at least gives the marketing department here some insight as to what's working, is we always ask, you know, whether the lead comes in through the website or if they call on the phone, you know, our director of first impressions who would answer the phone call. Both ways, you know, a lead is asked, how did you hear about us?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's interesting sometimes. I think we had, you know, a lead come in recently and said, oh, radio. Well, and I just told you, we haven't been on radio in probably 5 years. So that just kind of goes to show what you and I are talking about. Like, it's kind of left up to them to tell you. Most times they're going to say the last thing that they did. And so Google, like search, gets a lot of credit here for leads because more than likely one of the last actions they did was Google the firm name. They ended up on our website and they submitted a contact form. So we know for sure it works, but how they initially heard about us could have been from a friend, could have been from TV. Mm-hmm. We just don't always get the chance to uncover that information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I try to remind clients of that as well. Did this particular lead, did they actually hear you on the radio like 5 years ago?
That's possible too. Yeah. Sometimes it'll even be a campaign they remember from 10 years ago. Or
good luck measuring that.
I know. So yeah, it is really hard with traditional to really measure what's working.
I got so frustrated answering those questions because there's no answer. Like we can't measure the results of, you know, a billboard or a viral video. You know, you can do your best, you can ask, but even that is not the full picture.
Right.
So I eventually, we went down the path of, you know, video Facebook ads, video Instagram ads, video LinkedIn ads, because those are measurable. People yes. that see those, that click on those, that give us their information. It's like, here's how much we spent. Here's the leads we got. Here's the ones that converted. Like, X plus Y equals Z for how right. much money you made. And then I remind them that also tens of thousands of the people that we were targeting who didn't click on this ad but watched it, you know, we're not even factoring that into the ROI. That is an intangible benefit.
Right.
That those folks, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 5 years from now could be like, I need a financial advisor, Google search it. You come up, they recognize your name, and they click you instead of the seven people in front of you potentially.
Right.
And I'm like, that we're not even charging you for that.
Yes. It's like a completely different journey, but you're right. It happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's these legacy forms of marketing can be very effective. I try to remind people, like, you know, the billboard, the commercial, this actually helps your SEO. Because if you're at least on the first page, which you absolutely should be,
right?
You know, if they're just seeing this list of 10 people and they recognize your name because they saw your billboard, they're more likely to click it.
Absolutely. And in some of the TV stations I know that we work, they're trying to quantify some of the, you know, the web's traffic. I know one of my vendors, they can actually track if our commercial runs, they'll measure the traffic that we get 30 minutes after that commercial airing. And they see a bump in traffic. Again, it's not a 100% guarantee, but highly likely that a couple of those folks ended up at the website because they were watching TV and saw the commercial. So
right. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they're trying to get, you know, some more results to share.
Yeah. Cool. So let's dig into your work with Fragasso. So Fragasso is a very healthy firm. They do very well. Everyone I talk to in Pittsburgh knows you guys.
Thanks to Bob. Yep.
Yeah. So how do you guys find leads? How do you find new customers?
So we do it through a variety of ways. And, you know, just for our listeners and they can understand the scope of our team, we have a 3-person marketing team here at Fragasso. Myself, you know, he manages the department. I oversee strategy. I do a lot of copywriting and editing. But we also have a full-time digital content manager who manages our website and email campaigns. And she does a lot with our blogs. And then we have a senior graphic designer. So much of the creative, of course, goes through her, whether it's print, digital. She also does a lot of the financial plans and presentations that our advisors show to clients. So we're very fortunate that we have a talented team here in-house. And we could not do this without having support from, you know, our executive team here at Fragasso, who gives us, you know, not only like our jobs, but the funds for a budget to accomplish the goals that we were setting out to. So I think that's really important. to set that background and to understand the resources we have here in-house. So really, like, each year we put together a marketing plan. I usually start that process in the third quarter of the year, get some proposals in. Sometimes I do a marketing plan and a media audit. So really the first step is identifying our target market and, you know, finding a comfortable budget for us to work with. So really we've done this ourselves over the past couple of years, niching down a little bit. You know, one of the reasons why we took away maybe billboards was because, you know, we were setting a new minimum investable assets. And some of the leads that we were getting in from that source weren't meeting the minimum any longer. So that was one of the reasons why, you know, we took a source like billboards out of our equation here. So we did kind of niche down a little bit. You know, it's always good to niche down as much as you can. You know that, Chris, I'm sure you talk to clients about that all the time. Really, oh, yeah. Focus on, you know, what makes you different? Who do you serve well? And, you know, hopefully they become ambassadors for you. So really, like, looking at, like, who are our best clients, everything from age, gender, do they have a profession in common, net worth? We look at, with a media audit, what their interests are, you know, golf, gardening, cooking, like, how are they spending their time? And are there opportunities there for us to get involved in those sorts of activities to get in front of them? Where, of course, you know, geographic is also a good place you're going to want to look at. You know, where am I marketing to? Make sure your money's going to the right places. Particular life events that you may be able to help them with. Obviously, you know, retirement being a big one, but, you know, do you specialize in divorce planning, or, you know, who else do you help and at what stage of the life? And how are good prospects, how are they researching your services? You know, we talked about search engines. Of course, we know referrals is a great way to gain new clients in this business. Where are they getting their news? Are they still receiving print publications at home, or are there digital subscriptions they get? So we start by looking at all of those different things. And then, like I said, determining the budget. And I do it for a full year because we know we need to spend some time and commit to the different, like, sources of marketing versus, you know, oh, I tried this for 3 months, I'm just going to pull out completely. More than likely, you may want to look at, how can I adjust the campaign? You know, can I change some messaging? Like, is this a download offer? Can I change the content? Before pulling out altogether on an initiative.
Awesome. So many follow-up questions from that. You just shared some great stuff. I'm always curious, like, how did you go about determining who your best type of client is? Like, did you look at your current client base and be like, this person is awesome, they super benefit from our services, like, let's find, you know, 1,000 more people just like this person?
So one thing that's unique here at Fragasso, and I think Bob mentioned this when he talked to you, Chris, is you know, we have 12 advisors here, but we're all under one book, which means marketing supports all of the advisors. When we get leads in from marketing, they're on a rotation system. Sometimes we hand them out geographically, knowing that this advisor is north of the city and that's where this lead resides. So we have a variety, you know, of advisors to support. Some of them have niche. Some of them know that I want to help women investors. I want to help business owners, you know, with exit planning. You know, I really do well with professors and education. So we have a number of niches. When we down here at Fragasso, what we really look at was, like, our minimum account level, like I mentioned before. So, you know, committing to now $500,000 up. And the reason we did that was, like you just said, we kind of looked at, who are we really helping? And that seemed to be the best asset size. And really, we look for 1 to 3 million to really be able to use our resources and education here wisely at the firm, instead of, you know, an advisor serving 200 clients where the asset size is all over the board. They're always juggling and, you know, just aren't working to the best of their ability. So we really look to see like who we were helping, and then individually some of the advisors have specific targets on top of that.
Mm-hmm. And having kind of similar clients across your client base, that makes it easier to scale, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Like you're not serving this 500 million client, 500,000 client. Like obviously those are very different clients with very different needs.
Right.
You're dialing in this 1 to 3 million in assets client and just like serving them the absolute best that they can be served. And then you can, you know, have hundreds or thousands of that type of client. Tens of thousands. Yeah. Right. That's the real benefit of niching down, is that it makes your business more scalable and easier to grow. You're not completely changing the fabric of your business to serve every new client you get, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what is the best way right now of finding this ideal client that you all have focused on? What marketing strategies are working the best, like now and maybe the last 12 months?
So what we really look to do is really refine our sales funnel. You know, that's something since I came on board here, we really tried to build it up, and also, you know, have management and other people in the company understand that, you know, on average, it's going to take someone to see your name, recognize your name at least 7 times before they're going to reach out to you. You know, that way they've been now seeing you or heard about you enough that they have an understanding of what you're doing. So that's what we were talking about before, like, you know, hey, I'm having really good success with email marketing, not so much with television. Do I pull away from television completely? If you should make a decision to eliminate something like that, then you need to look back and compare, like, if the leads are dwindling, it could be because of a larger awareness source that you cut back on, that you just weren't getting the clear results, just weren't being communicated to you before. So we do a mix of, you know, awareness initiatives, which those are those traditional media options that we talked about. Then the second step of our funnel is more about interest. Like this person probably has seen our names 2-3 times and is now searching for us on SEO. Maybe they're peeking on our social media pages. They become a follower and they're reading some content on our website. And then the third stage being into the decision-making phase. At this point, maybe they signed up for a download. We now have their email address. So we have some automated campaigns kicking off. Maybe they return back to the website or click on a form that we've sent them and reach out to us about setting up a consultation. And then from that third to fourth step, I mean, that's really where marketing hands the lead off to a financial advisor and their client experience begins.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And that client sales funnel or new client sales funnel, how long on average do you think that is?
Yeah, good question. You know, I just noticing, like, you know, there's been some, you know, market fluctuation over the past few years, especially since 2020. It seems like when things are good or really bad, I think that cycle shortens. I feel like it could be like a 3-month sales cycle. Now 2023 seemed to be, you know, probably not the greatest year. We ended on a high note, which was great. And in the fourth quarter, I noticed that there were opportunities closing that were initiated 9 months sooner.
Wow.
But because events were changing at the end of that calendar year, then people got a little more motivated to make a decision. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think it's really, you know, probably 6 months average.
So, mm-hmm. So I know for our clients, we if they don't buy within, you know, the first month or two, we put them on like a drip email campaign where they'll get like our podcast emails or any other kind of like fun, valuable content that we send out, and maybe like one email a month, like, hey, you know, we'd love to work with you. Do, mm-hmm. do you have a philosophy on staying top of mind, how often to reach out where, you know, you're not annoying them and they're like unsubscribe?
Right. We do the same as mm-hmm. what you just described, Chris.
Okay, awesome.
Depending on, you know, how they got to us, they might be enrolled in a different campaign. We do email more frequent. I would say maybe once a week sometimes, or every week and a half. One thing that we have at Fragasso, which helps us generate a lot of content, is we have an in-house magazine.
Mm-hmm.
We publish it 3 times a year. So it does go out in print to our high net worth clients, but it's also available in digital format. We send it out to our entire database. And then it's also available on our website, and we use it, you know, for downloads and web conversions and whatnot. But mm-hmm. once the magazine itself is published, and I must say that everything is written in-house, like we aren't purchasing these articles from anywhere else. It's our financial mm-hmm. advisors, our financial planning team. They're all the authors of the content inside of this magazine. Mm-hmm. So from that, I might walk away with, let's say, 8 really good articles. Then we take those articles individually and use them as blogs.
Mm.
So they may get the email, you know, with just, you know, a charitable gifting blog. It was in the last magazine, but, you know, chances are we get so much content. There's a good possibility that, you know, not all eyes were on that one particular mm-hmm. article. So then we also use those and repurpose them as blogs.
Mm. Yeah. Repurposing content is the name of the game, I would say.
The magazine gives us enough that, you know, by the time we're finished with one, we're starting the next issue. It mm-hmm. is continuous. Yeah.
Awesome.
We're never at a need, I think, for content.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. You guys, like everyone at Fragasso, values content, because mm-hmm. The more content you put out, the higher value it is, the better your SEO will do, the better or the easier it will be for people to find you. And then that, you know, if you publish a blog or a video or a TikTok or podcast, whatever, and someone gains value from it, like, you know, it's hard for them not to like you. They're like, right. Oh, this person just like helped me for free. I just found this, you know, random article or saw it in my Instagram newsfeed or whatever. So mm-hmm. it's, I try to remind clients, I'm like, we're building goodwill here.
It helps a lot of them brand themselves too. Like mm-hmm. I said, I have one advisor who likes to help women investors. Well, she has a column each issue. You know, or another one who helps nonprofits and institutions, like he has a column each issue. So, you know, it's really helped branding them too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And also, you know, if you do, this is why I'm so bullish on video
mm-hmm.
is, you know, I tell my clients, we're making these videos of them where they're sharing like super high value information that most people don't know. Most investors are completely unaware of. And it's coming out of your mouth and it's coming out of your face, and they're seeing your name and they're seeing your company name and they're hearing your voice and maybe they're reading the subtitles. And it's like, you know, we see Brad Pitt on the same platform. So then when the time comes and they have the consultation with you, they're like, I'm talking to the guy from, you know, from Facebook, from Instagram. Like there's that little dash of like I already know this person. This person's like right. a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
you know,
so, familiar and authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to reiterate, you know, just the warming up of the cold lead that the videos can accomplish and, you know, how powerful that can be. So
I totally agree.
Yeah. Do you have, like, I know the average cycle is 6 months, and you know sometimes you're sending weekly emails, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed certain emails, certain titles kind of move the needle, and then a bunch of people sign up for consultations or respond or anything like that?
We've had, you know, we used to do a lot more in-person seminars, and you know, a lot of that has changed over the years. You know, we used to be able to fill up a room, but you know, especially since COVID happened, we did some webinars for a while. We had a very successful seminar, and it was called Can You Afford to Retire? So once we stepped back a little
good title.
Yes, I think that's one of the main reasons it sells. It's a title. You know, it resonates with so many people. So we took Can You Afford to Retire? You know, I'm sure it's probably available on the website still in seminar format if you want to watch a video. But we also compacted it into a like download, a handbook. And so we use that a lot with our retargeting advertising through digital marketing, as well as, you know, it's landing pages on the website. It is an email campaign to follow up with different leads. And there's like a variety of resources they can download along that drip campaign.
Okay. Have you all focused on webinars? Has that been an effective strategy?
Not so much recently. I mean, we definitely did more of them in 2020 and 2021. We weren't finding qualified leads from the webinars. One thing that we do host in webinar format annually is a portfolio management panel discussion. So we have our own in-house portfolio management team here at Fragasso as well. And my team with marketing, we work with them every year to put together a panel discussion that we broadcast live. And this is usually for clients only. So they're able to watch it live, or then we can also send it out as a replay. So that's one that we do regularly that we're committed to.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. My father, he did an in-person seminar at Red Lobster every Thursday night, I think at like 6 PM for 25 years.
I bet.
And he's like, it built my entire practice. He had 1300 clients and, I think like 300 million in assets under management, and they were all $250,000 to $500,000 clients that he got with a free meal at Red Lobster.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bob Fragasso did the same thing. He did a lot of them at like the local colleges. And a lot of them they became generational clients. We're now serving, mm-hmm. you know, third generation, from where those came from. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, that's so simple. Like,
I know, we missed that stage.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I will give you free shrimp for your attention for an hour.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, that's a no-brainer. Yeah, I'm still exploring kind of the modern digital version of that. Like, you know, some sort of webinar. Maybe we'll mail them cheese biscuits or something.
Yeah, you don't want to mail the shrimp. The biscuits.
Yeah,
yeah.
The biscuits will last longer. So most of our audience, you know, they're not the size of Fragasso. They're probably, you know, 10 million, 30 million, 50 million, 100 million, mm-hmm. maybe more. Do you can you speak to how much time and how much budget they should put towards a healthy marketing plan?
Oh, that's a tough question. Well, if, you know, first of all, I mean, this is something that Bob Fragasso preaches, is you want to make sure you're using your time wisely. So, you know, so from a financial advisor, I mean, they of course have to retain and service their existing clients and then go out and get their own. There are some advisors here at the firm that I've reached out to. We started working recently on personal marketing plans. And so what I've said to them as kind of like an individual advisor, we look at a variety of ways you can market. And one of the things I tell them is don't commit yourself to something that you don't want to do. Like for, and you know this too, like if someone says, okay, well, I'm not on social media, I don't use it, I don't read it, then don't pick social media as an initiative. Like, you know, that's not going to work for you. Like, play to your strengths.
Or just hire my team and we'll do it all for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Outsourcing is definitely something that I would advise, you know, a small practice or an advisor to do is, you know, have some professionals help you. Even with a team of three full-time internally, we still have someone help us with digital marketing, with video production, and with media buying, because that's not the highest and best use of my time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would definitely say, you know, choose tactics that either you have somebody else handle for you or things, you know, as that you would like to do and you'll stick with. Make sure whatever you pick also lines up with who you're trying to target. So yeah, you don't want to waste your time anywhere where you're just not going to get qualified leads. And really, you know, the first step that I look at is, you know, who are you targeting? So looking at, well, where do you find these folks? Maybe even asking some of your better clients, you know, what do they do? Like I mentioned, like their hobbies, like, I don't know about like nationally, but like pickleball is like a huge.
Oh, I love pickleball.
Yeah. And it's great for, you know, the retirement, pre-retirement age. If that's like a demographic you're targeting, can you sponsor a tournament? Like, you know, do mm-hmm. they have some events that you can take part of? Maybe give them a seminar if you like to teach, if you like to speak. You know, like I mentioned, we do so much writing or so much marketing through writing and educating. You know, having a blog and really getting that in front of the right people. Is a good way to market yourself to through thought leadership. So yeah, I mean, if you find a few places and then that's where you're going to say, hey, I can set aside this amount of money. This is what I'm committing. And like I said, give it at least 6 months, I would think, you know, to really see what results you're getting from it. And then determine if it's worth the time and resources and switch to something else. I would actually urge even a full year, but, you know, unrestricted time and budget, I think 6 months is a good shot. Stay frequent, you know, just don't buy a print ad, stick it in, you know, or an online directory and expect it to do the work for you. You know, if you want an award, broadcast it, like put that on your web page, send out an email announcing this, you know, put it on your social page. You want to really help cross promote different things like that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the advice to take up pickleball is really awesome.
There you go.
I play pickleball with my dad. My dad, he's 72. He plays every day of the week. And all of his friends play every day of the week. And all his friends are late 40s, you know, late 70s, all over the place, retired, not retired. I think playing it's just the most approachable and like age irrelevant sport like of all time. Like you couldn't really play pick up basketball and meet. I mean, I guess you could, like if they're in good shape, but it just seems like everyone can play pickleball and they love playing it. And it's just a great way to meet new people. So that could be all the marketing you need, just playing pickleball.
It could be, yeah.
You could build your pickleball practice.
Right, yeah. It used to be so much golf focused, but
yeah.
Like you can reach a broader group here.
Yeah, I wonder if there's probably more pickleball courts than golf courses at this point. It seems like they're sprouting up like Starbucks back in the day.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, like in Pittsburgh, you know, we have a pretty high population of retirees and an aging population. So I'd imagine like Pittsburgh, Florida, you know, where Arizona, you know, the Carolinas, where people tend to spend their retirement years, are probably booming with the pickleball.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, here, let me show you this sick pickleball move, and here's how to increase your returns.
Yeah.
Here's how to increase your pickleball returns and your investment returns.
See, that's a good download title.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
Yeah.
That's a lead magnet right there. Just Bob's hitting pickleballs and talking Roth IRAs. That'd be amazing. So for the magazine, I know you mentioned you have 12 advisors. Does every advisor, are they expected to contribute to the magazine?
No, they do get to take turns. Okay. Yeah. Like I said, most of them do like to write. There's a couple that don't, you know, that aren't real big on it. So they might only have to write, you know, every one article every other year. They're choosing different methods to market themselves. You know, they might be networkers instead.
Okay.
But in addition to our financial advisors, we also have a financial planning department. Sometimes, you know, they're typically at least one article coming from their department. We have company-sponsored retirement plans, 401ks. That department usually submits an article in each issue. So we make sure at least each department is represented by one article.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. And so the magazine is predominantly the written word, like blogs and email blasts, and so digital magazine, or
we use the same publication, and it is also available as a digital download.
Okay.
Just this past year in 2023, our designers started playing around with some more interactive tools inside the digital version. So now we, like you said, just creating that familiarity with it. We have the advisors' headshots with their articles. Their contact information is right there. Their web, their email address, you can just click on it and email them, you know, straight from the magazine.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
We're going to start embedding videos in there instead of just being still photos to accompany an article. Maybe there'll be like a little video blog on it as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, what, nice variety of content.
Yeah, yeah. Have you had success with video content, with audio content, with other forms of content besides the written word?
Absolutely. Yeah, we do video as well. You know, of course, because we're on television, you know, we probably shoot new commercials maybe every 2 to 3 years. So, you know, we can repurpose our commercials digitally as well. But then we started committing to more regular video blogs just this past year as well. So we have at least one video blog a month. So we'll take a blog from the magazine, and then we have that author give anywhere from a 2 to 3 minute summary of what the article is about. So then they're able to watch the video and or read the full version of the article there.
Oh, really? That's super smart.
So yeah, building up our YouTube followers is a goal of ours. We're probably going to start some YouTube advertising this year as well to help with that.
Mm-hmm. To advertise the firm or to advertise the channel or both?
Both.
Both.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I've not dug into YouTube video advertising yet. What are you guys seeing or thinking with that?
So that is definitely something that we rely on an outside expert to help us with. You know, a lot of how-to content, you know, those people who are looking for those types of things. And of course, we can geographically and, you know, age appropriate, go after leads that way with our video content on YouTube. So we're using a lot of the data we know from our top performing keywords, you know, on Google and Bing, and trying to get in front of more people with videos on YouTube as well.
Mm.
I'll let you know how it goes, though.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I've wondered if the basically the same strategy we use on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn would just work on YouTube. You just make the video different size. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know, instead of running like a, hey, buy this, you just run like, here's a valuable video of, you know, Bob sharing some financial insights.
Yeah. You try maybe a little bit longer form content, you know, on YouTube versus Facebook or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that could be cool. Awesome. All right. Well, we are coming towards the end of our time. I could definitely just keep asking you questions for the rest of the day, but I know you were busy, so I'll respect your time. I guess my closing out questions, what do you see as the future of marketing for financial advisors? It seems like there's so many exciting and terrifying tools that are coming out every day. ChatGPT, these AI image makers, and now they have AI video makers, AI advisors, robo advisors. What are you seeing as the future? Where are we heading?
I'm sure, you know, AI is going to contribute a lot to studying the behaviors, and where to find the leads that we're looking for. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that evolves. You know, much of our success in recent years has definitely coming from digital marketing and all of the time and money and that we're investing into that. So I think that's just going to build on what we've learned there. But I don't think anything's going to be that whole personal touch, you know, that a financial advisor, that person relationship that they have with their clients, that I think that's one thing that is remains steady, and I expect to see it stay consistent like through the future. It's, you know, clients love their advisor. If they're here, they're happy. You know, there's just some that person is just can't be replaced, the personal touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The ChatGPT can't really keep you focused on the plan, you know, when the market is doing crazy things, which it, you know, has been known to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when you want to reach out. You want to hear that voice, you know, that's been guiding you, you know, through the years, and know that they're there. They're watching your portfolio. And they care about you. So that's one thing technology I don't think we'll ever be able to replace. So
yep.
But definitely it'll enhance how we, I think, find more great clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. I'm excited.
Me too.
Yeah. So my final question, open-ended question, you can take it in any direction you want. What are you and Fragasso working towards? And you can answer that separately as well.
I think overall as a firm, we're working toward being the go-to firm in Western Pennsylvania for high net worth investors. So like I said, we made more of a solid commitment to that in recent years. We're seeing our new clients come on with the average assets they're bringing on is continuing to grow each year, which I love seeing that because that to me says, hey, we are doing the right things. We're in the right place. So I'm excited to see us grow in that space.
Yeah. And drive that growth.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Exciting. Amen. Awesome. And where can our audience find out more about you and Fragasso?
So myself, I'm on LinkedIn pretty frequently. And then the firm's website is Fragasso Advisors. That's Fragassoadvisors.com, Fragassoadvisors.com. There's bio pages for everybody on our team as well as their headshots too. So check out the site and meet the rest of the team.
Awesome. Awesome. And I meant to say Fragasso the whole time. That's we'll go back and loop that. Awesome. Well, Marcia, thank you so much for spending the time with us today. This was great.
Opportunity. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, you're natural and you really know your stuff. So.
Oh yeah, you make it easy because we're cut from the same cloth. So
yeah,
we could talk for hours. I'm sure.
Oh yeah. We speak the same language. That's for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, everybody who tuned in, thank you so much for listening or watching today. We'll keep on growing out there, everybody. See you. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed the ideas shared here, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and Spotify. Please share this episode with anyone you think will also find value here. You can find short video clips of the best moments from the episode at uhnwc.com and on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Ultra High Net Worth Clients, and on X at UHNWC Podcast. Please connect with me, Chris Broadhead, Brodhead, on LinkedIn so I can directly answer any AUM growth questions you may have. All right, thanks for listening and keep on growing out there, everybody.